Do 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 do. Good evening. Welcome to another episode of Bedtime Stories with Thompson. We're reading from The War of the Worlds by H.G. Wells, and this is the grand finale, Chapter 18, Returning Home. And now comes the strangest part of my story. Everything that had happened to me is clear in my memory, until the moment when I stood on the hill overlooking London, thanking God. And then I forgot. I remember nothing of the next 3 days. I later learned that other wanderers like me had discovered the Martians' destruction the night before I did. One man, the first, had managed to reach a telegraph office and wire the news to Paris. The joyful news then flashed all over the world. Thousands of cities, chilled with the fear that they would be the next Martian targets, rang church bells, sent people out into the streets weeping with joy, and began shipping food supplies to London. But I remember none of this. With my sanity and my memory gone, I wandered the streets of London. On the third day of my wandering, I was taken in by some kindly people who had found me singing, weeping, and raving in the streets. Even though these people had enough problems of their own, they sheltered me and protected me from myself until my mind was back to normal. Then they very gently broke the news to me that Leatherhead had been destroyed by a Martian and that not a soul had survived. I was lonely and sad, but the people were patient with me. Soon I began to crave one more look at what remained of my happy past on Mayberry Hill. They pleaded with me not to go, but I had to. So I went out again into the streets. They were already busy with returning people. Some shops were even opening. The churches were distributing bread sent across from France. How busy everyone was on that bright sunny day, even though they were still in dirty rags, their yellow faces still sunken. Free trains were running, taking people to their homes. Here the first rush was over, and I boarded a train and found a compartment for myself. I sat with folded arms, looking at the blackened ruins that sped past the windows. All along the track, hundreds of workers were relaying the rails. I got off at Byfleet Station, since walking was still under repair, and started on the road to Mayberry. I passed the spot where the Martian had first appeared to me in the thunderstorm. Here, out of curiosity, I turned aside to find the broken cart I had rented to take my wife to Leatherhead. Next to it lay the whitened bones of the horse, scattered and chewed on. I stood for a while, remembering. I looked ahead toward my house with a quick flash of hope, but it faded immediately. The door had been broken and was now opening and closing from the breeze. Curtains fluttered out of my open study window, the window from which the artilleryman and I had watched the pit on Horsell Common nearly 4 weeks ago. I stumbled into the hall and up to the stairs to my study. On my desk was the article I had been writing on the day of the opening of the first cylinder. It was an article on how civilization would develop into the future.
"In about 200 years," I had written, "we may expect," and the sentence had been left unfinished when I had gone to get my newspaper from the delivery boy and had listened to his odd story of the dead men from Mars.
I went down into the dining room. Meat and bread were on the table, moldy and decayed, and a bottle of beer overturned, just as the artilleryman and I had left them. My home was desolate. The faint hope I had cherished for weeks, the hope of seeing my dear wife again, was gone. And then a strange thing occurred. I heard a man's voice coming from outside the front door.
"It is no use," said the voice. "The house is deserted. No one has been here all these weeks. Do not stay here and torment yourself. No one has escaped but you."
I was startled. Who knew I was here? Who knew what thoughts were in my head? I turned and took a step outside the French doors leading from the dining room into the garden, and there, as amazed and afraid as I, stood my cousin. And my wife. Her face was white, but she gave a faint cry when she saw me. "I came," she said. I knew. She clutched her throat and swayed. I rushed forward and caught her in my arms before she fainted. End of chapter 17, or chapter 18. Chapter 19, The Future of Man. After the war, although the cause of the Martians' deaths was discovered to be Earth's bacteria, no one was able to determine what the Martians' black smoke was made of or how their heat rays worked. But a question of more serious worldwide interest is the possibility of another attack from Mars. I believe this is a possibility, and we should be prepared. We should keep a constant watch on that part of Mars from which the shots were discharged, so as to know when to expect the arrival of the next attack. That way, the cylinder could be destroyed with dynamite or artillery fire before it was cool enough for the Martians to come out. In any case, we have learned that we cannot regard our planet as a secure home for man. Perhaps, however, across the immensity of space, the Martians have watched the fate of these pioneers of theirs and have learned a lesson. Perhaps they will try to find a safer settlement on another planet. In fact, several astronomers believe that the Martians have already made a successful landing on Venus. Man's view of the universe has expanded, too, as a result of the Martians' attack. As my wife and I gaze at the heavens, we realize that if the astronomers are correct, and if the Martians have reached Venus, it isn't impossible for man to travel to other planets, too. And so one day, when the slow cooling of the sun makes the Earth uninhabitable, as it must eventually do, man can continue his life elsewhere in this vast universe. The end.
Now can I look at the back of the book?
Certainly. And that is the end of The War of the Worlds by H.G. Wells. We'll be back next time with a brand new book, and this time it will be Thompson doing the reading. Won't it?
Yep.
So we'll see how that goes. Next show. Good night.